I was originally born in the islands of Trinidad and Tobago. Now, I know what you're thinking. Where's Trinidad? It's okay, though. I get that same puzzle look from everyone. But it's the island right next to Venezuela, and typically when I say that, they're like, oh, okay. But I grew up in New York, so that's why I have the accent. And I moved to Ohio back in 2001. Now, if I'm honest, my move to Ohio was one out of fear. You see, growing up in New York, my senior year of high school, I got mugged. And I know what you're thinking, right? It's New York. It comes with the territory, man. But one time was one too many. So towards the end of my senior year, we had a recruiter come to talk to me about college. And I really had one question for him. I was like, do you have a location outside of New York? And he says, yeah, we have one in New Jersey. I was like, not far enough. And he's like, well, we have one in Illinois and Ohio. I was like, Ohio? Let me see where that's at. So we pulled up the map, and I looked at it. I'm not lying. This is a true story. And I measured the distance between Ohio and New York, and I was like, hey, far enough for my mom and dad, enough to come back and visit. Okay, we'll go to Ohio. You see, but my move to Ohio, even though it wasn't even on my radar, and like I said, my move to Ohio was out of fear, it was God's providential plan for my life. Because not far into my move to Ohio, in fact, my very first day of school, I met my future wife. And Amanda and I have been married now for 14 years. And we have a son, his name is Nathaniel. And I didn't mention this guy earlier, our dog Ezra, so I want to mention him now because he's probably going to hear, I'm going to hear about it when I get home. But yeah, so that's a little bit about myself. But today, what I want to talk to you about is about a topic that kind of has been on my mind and my heart just recently. And it stemmed from a conversation that my wife had with my son. You see, earlier this year, Nate was at camp, and she was picking him up from camp. And at camp, you know, he's learning about, you know, Jesus. He's learning about, you know, the life that God has for him. And he had a question for her. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you are really ready for deep spiritual questions from your kids? See, one of the things I worry about is, am I going to have the right answer for him? Is he going to take me seriously? Does he really want to know? Or is he asking because he heard someone else asking? You see, I think God gives us moments, right? He gives us moments with our kids. He gives us lots of moments. But I think there are those specific ones that he gives to us where when we look back on them, we say, you know, that was the time where my son really took that and he carried with him. But that was the time where my daughter, she's going to teach that to her kids one day. You see, and what's even cool about it is if we can recognize that the moment that it's actually happening. Not so we can tell them what they want to hear, but we can be really honest and genuine with our kids. Because one thing our kids know, they know when you're just telling them what they want to hear. So be honest with your kids. But he had a question. And I think the question he had is probably a question I think all of us, at some point, maybe even today, you might be asking. He says, Mom, what is my purpose in life? Now, that's a big question. It's a really big question because it's a question I think as Christians we wrestle with. You know, we often wonder, am I doing what God has called me to do? Am I really living out my purpose? And those are lies that the enemy wants to get into your head because he wants nothing more than to steal your purpose. So I want you to repeat a question for me today. I want you all to say, does God have a purpose for my life? Can we say that on three? One, two, three. Awesome. Now, not does God have a purpose for my kid's life, or does God have a purpose for creating the world? No. Does God have a purpose for my life? And how I can know what that purpose is? You see, over the last several weeks, we've been talking about God on film. And the first week, Sam talked about the cycle of sin and what that does in our life. And in the second week, he talked about legalism versus grace. You know, talking about rules versus relationship. And then he talked about overcoming. And then just recently, last week, Corey Smith shared with us a story that really impacted his life and helped him grow in his faith. Today, we're going to be looking at the matrix. And my theme for you today is this. Knowing that God has a purpose for your life should transform how you see everything. Knowing that God has a purpose for you should transform how you see everything in your life. Not just something, everything. Now, I know the movie Matrix it's old. It's about 18 years old. So maybe not everyone has seen it. So just to give you an overview of the movie, the main character, his name is Neo, and he's seen in the clip, and he's talking to another guy, Morpheus. But Neo, he's just an ordinary guy. He's a computer programmer. You know, he's doing his day-to-day job. But he suspects that something is wrong with the world that he's living in. But he just doesn't know. And one day, he's exposed to this realm. And he discovered that there's a reality beyond which he was accustomed to. He's met by this guy, Morpheus. And Morpheus reveals to Neo that the realm that he's living in is not the real world. In fact, he knew Neo was searching for something, just like Nate was searching and asking, what is my purpose? So he invites Neo to join in with them. And when Neo joins with them, he realizes something very quickly, that the world that he was living in was not the real one. In fact, he realized that his life now had purpose. In this new realm, he can do things that he couldn't do previously. He had abilities that he didn't once have before. And he had a new love, Trinity. In fact, his relationship with Trinity would be one of the most dominating relationships with his life as they worked together in partnership to help defeat the enemy and help fulfill his purpose. This movie has a lot of Christian symbolism and theology. And when Sam was talking about movies, I said, you know, The Matrix would be a really good movie. And he said, all right, you're up to bat. So we're going to dive in. See, in the movie, Trinity reveals to Neo very early on that this is the question that drives us all, the one that we all wrestle with. There must be something more. Now, how many of you have had those thoughts? I know I have. There must be something more for my life. Am I wasting my life? You know, whenever life gets tough, whenever we face obstacles in life, we start going through this cycle. You know, is this the best that it's going to get for me? Is there all that there is to this life? One of my most favorite ones when my son asked me, he's like, life isn't fair. You see, throughout the ages, philosophers have asked this very same question. Greek philosopher Georgias has compared us to leaky jars. He says, we are never satisfied, always looking to be filled up again, to have our jar so full that we can feel okay. See, I believe that this cycle that we go through ends us in a state of hopelessness. Because if we really believe that this is all that this life has to offer us, then we've lost hope of a brighter tomorrow. We've lost hope of a better future, one that's with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when our jar gets empty and in this state of hopelessness, what we do is we try to fill them up. We try to fill it up with things, earthly success, materialism, the latest technology, anything to distract us from the fact that we're hopeless, that we've lost hope. But sooner or later, we know that those things just don't hold up because that's a leaky jar. And we become empty. If you have your Bibles with you, open up to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be parked here for pretty much the entire of verses 1 through 17. But just to give you a little bit of history, Paul is in prison, and he's writing to the church in Colossae. One of his colleagues has started this church, and he's addressing and he's encouraging them about some of the things that are happening and some of the pressures that they're facing. So my first point to do today for you in terms of finding your purpose is to recognize that you have been redeemed for a purpose. See, the question really comes down to, do you believe that you have been redeemed? If Jesus is the Redeemer, then we are his redeemed. See, this is why he endured the cross. See, he has rescued you from the hands of the enemy so that you can be free. So that you can be free to live. You see, I think some of us have been slaves for so long that we forget that we've been freed and we just get back in that same mentality and we forget that we have been redeemed. You see, we are redeemed for God and by God. And we too are given a choice. See, Neo in the Matrix, he was rescued from the world that he was living. He was rescued from a world that offered him nothing, a world that had him trapped. In the scene, he says, the world has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. The enemy wants to pull this world over your eyes to blind you from the truth that you were once in bondage, but you have been set free. So Jesus offers this choice. We see that in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, I love this verse because it's very clear why Jesus went to the cross, the very first part of it. For whose sake? For our sake. For our sake, he went to the cross. You see, we deserved every consequence of our sins. But Jesus took the punishment for us. God is a just God. He's a merciful God. He's a wise God. And the consequence of sin was debt. And that debt had to be paid. And Jesus paid that debt for you and I on Calvary's cross. And because of that, you have been redeemed for a purpose. There's a scene in the movie where Neo dies. I love this scene. Now, I know what you're thinking. Main character dies and this guy's celebrating. No. Spoiler alert. He comes back. You see, the force that really brings Neo back into life in the movie is love. The instrument of love that was in the form of the character Trinity. I said there's a lot of Christian symbolism in the movie. You see, what happens in the movie is Trinity leans over to Neo as he dies, and she kisses him, almost like the proverbial kiss of life or breath of life. And he awakens, and the very first words he hears in the forms of a command, now get up. Can you imagine for me for a second? Jesus is laying in the tomb, and on the third day, God breathes life back into him and says, now, get up. You see, this is the same for you and I. We were dead. We were dead in our sins. And Jesus is breathing life back into us, and he's saying, now, get up. Now, get up. Because it was love that came down. It was love that came, walked this earth. It was the instrument of love in the form of Jesus Christ who died so you can be redeemed for a purpose. God didn't redeem us so we can go back to our old lives. No, he didn't. In fact, the very end of the verse tells us his purpose in doing so is that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, we need to get up because now that we've been redeemed for a purpose, we have work to do. And guess what? For every good work, you need to be equipped. And you have been equipped for a purpose. A few weeks ago, I was driving home from work, and I knew we had a softball game. Halfway through my drive, I realized that I didn't have my softball bat, my softball cleats, my softball shirt. Didn't have anything for softball. In fact, I was wearing my dress clothes, my dress pants, my dress shoes, my sweater. I know what you're thinking. This guy's wearing a sweater in July. Man, Chase, they try to freeze you out. But I'm naturally cold. I'm always warm, brother, so I'm cold. But I wasn't really equipped for playing softball. I was equipped for doing what Neo did, punching numbers all day. Now, I can try to play softball in my work getup, but I wouldn't be very good, would I? You see, when Neo entered the Matrix in the movie, he had to equip himself. He had to train. He had to know how to deal with the world that he was in. He had to be prepared for every ramification that he did. Because the enemy in the world that he was in, the agents, they were trying to overcome him. And just like us, when we have been redeemed, we have an enemy as well. And this enemy is relentless. He doesn't like it when God's people are walking with God. In fact, he presses on. He tries to move on further and further into our space so we can be pushed further and further from God. See, God has called you to a great purpose, and he wants to equip you for that purpose. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and on, he says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of all these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them." You see, you once walked in that world. And when you've been redeemed, you have been set free. See, a newly convert in Christ has to learn how to walk with God. Just like a child who is newborn doesn't just get up and start walking, as much as those moms out there would love for that to happen, it doesn't happen. You have to help them along the way. There are going to be steps where they fall over, they fell down, you pick them up, you brush their knees, and you help them to get going. See, our faith is like a plant. If you don't water a plant, the plant will die. Not that it might, it will die. See, our relationship with the Lord need to be invested in. We need to invest in our relationship. And this is how he works through us to fulfill our purpose. He has equipped us with many provisions. Two I'm going to touch on this morning. The first is the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. I don't think you heard me. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. How amazing is that? That the presence of God is in you right now. You see, Jesus told his disciples that he must go so that the helper could come. But what has happened is far too many of us has compartmentalized the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, we've compartmentalized him so much that we don't longer allow him to work in the way that he was designed to. See, he has come to help us in every situation, to help guide us. But we have been distracted. Have you been in a situation where you just have this feeling like, you know, I shouldn't be here, I shouldn't be doing that? See, that's the Holy Spirit's nudge. He's nudging you. A few weeks ago, Nate and I went and watched Spider-Man, a new Spider-Man movie, Homecoming. And if you know Spider-Man's strength, shout him out to me. Anybody know Spider-Man's strength? What are some of his strengths? Web-slinging? Ah, spider-sense. See, that is his greatest strength. You know why? See, it has been said that Spider-Man is so in tune with his spidey sense that he can dodge and weave through traffic, avoiding oncoming dangers and obstacles. I'm here to tell you today, you too have spidey sense. You guys laugh, but no, it's real. Spider-Man's fake, get that, I get that. But some of the kids are like, whoa, whoa, Spider-Man's fake? Yeah, he's fake, guys. But listen, the Holy Spirit is real. And we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And when we are in tune with the Holy Spirit living in us, we too can navigate this life. We too can dodge the obstacles the enemy is throwing. We too can dodge the danger ahead because we are in tune with the Holy Spirit living in us. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit living in us, but we have God's Word. God's Word. We have God's Word. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is this. It should be up on the screen. It says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Everything that we need to know to help us be equipped for this life that we live is in the Bible. This shouldn't be news to us. You know, God's Word is final authority, like I said, but we don't have to read very far into the Bible to see how we see His Word. If you don't agree with the very first verse, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, then you won't get very far into this word to see all the truth that is going to be revealed to you. I like David. David is known as a God after God's own heart. But David was messed up. David had mistakes in his life. But the one thing that David had was a desire for God. What is your desire right now? What is your top desire? We have many desires, but our top desire should be for God. And if it isn't, then I wonder why we question what our purpose is. We need to read the Bible through the lens of a seeker's heart, seeking God's word, seeking God's direction for our lives. You see, we've been redeemed for a purpose. We have been equipped for a purpose. But we've also been sent for a purpose as well. He says in Colossians chapter 3, 12 and on, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint to another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." And I love verse 14. "And above all else, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." See, Neo in the movie, he knew something was wrong with the world that he was living in. See, so do we. We know that there's something wrong with this world. We don't have to look very far. Just turn on your news. You see, this was not the purpose of God's creation. It was never part of his original plan. In fact, God created us to love him, to love one another, and to cherish the world that he's given to us. But pain and suffering are a direct consequence of sin, which is why those of us who have been redeemed, we need to go, because we have been sent by the King for a purpose. Let me ask you this. Let's say your boss calls you on Christmas Eve and says, "I need you to come into work tomorrow. We have 10,000 envelopes that I need you to open." How many of us would be, "Sign me up"? No. In fact, quite the opposite, right? Not me. I am not going in. Not the gifts I want to be opening on Christmas Day. Well, let's say he calls you back. He says, "Amongst those 10,000 envelopes, there's one with a $100,000 check. And that's for you, buddy. You just got to open up all the envelopes." How much more willing would you now be to go into work? Same task, but now you know something different. It's the same tedious task, but what's different is you know the purpose of why you're doing it. Let me tell you, we know the purpose of why we've been sent. See, Christ calls his followers to a costly mission, one that will involve suffering and will involve opposition. But his sovereign care and protection is sufficient to sustain us. See, God will never let us down. We may let him down, but God will never let us down. And that's why he wants us to put on compassionate hearts of kindness so that we can bear with one another and seek the well-being of others. Jesus summons us to go. And he summons us to go because there is a great need. See, there are others out there who have not been set free. There are others out there who have not realized that they have been redeemed. There are others out there who have not realized that they can be equipped. See, when a slave is free, he doesn't just run off because he'll be free by himself. No, when a slave gets freed, he wants to help free others. And we need to help others find the same freedom that we have found in Christ Jesus. Not only that, we have to go because go to great danger. He understands that we will be betrayed, that we will be persecuted, and we will be hated, and fear definitely will tempt us. But in spite of all this, we must go. See, the Father will be with us. See, there are very few things in life that are as important as in finding your purpose. And when you understand the purpose of doing something, then you can really appreciate all of the inconvenience, all of the pain and suffering that comes in fulfilling that purpose. And there's no greater purpose than being sent by the Lord Jesus. You see, God is not asking us to do something that he himself haven't done. In fact, his name is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God seated in the heavenly places. But in the garden, when man turned away from God, sin entered the world. Jesus stepped into creation for the sole purpose of redeeming that which was lost. he too led a resistance group of 12 men, 12 disciples, that he taught and he showed them that he was the way back to the Father. He invited them to participate with him and in him, and then he commissioned them to take the gospel to every nation. When he ascended back into heaven, just as promised in the day of Pentecost, these ordinary men became extraordinary. They received the Holy Spirit. See, when Jesus Christ saved you, he too invites you to partner with him and the Trinity in order to keep the agents of evil from dominating humanity. You have been called to something bigger. If you don't experience that new realm, if you're satisfied with being a Thomas when you were made to be a Neo, then you will never understand all that you were designed to experience. Now, like I said when I started, Nate had a question. What is my purpose? It's a tough question. It's a tough question if we fail to recognize that we've been redeemed, we've been equipped, and we've been sent. You see, when Amanda had that conversation with him, her answer was really simple. She says, Nate, you can search your entire life trying to find your purpose. But our purpose is really simple: to love God and to serve others. In everything you do, whether you're the president, CEO of a company, or basketball star, keep in mind he's 13, I think we're okay there, but whatever you do it with a love of God and a service to others. See, in the movie Neo, he had a choice to make. He had a choice to decide whether or not he was going to go back to the life that he once knew, a life of mundane tasks, or go to a life that was the real world. See, when you and I, we also have a choice to make. We are offered a red pill and a blue pill. The blue pill will keep you back in the old life, this world. I've always liked to say that this world is the only heaven, some people will know. But the red pill that represents the blood that Jesus has spilled on Calvary's cross to save you. See, after choosing the red pill in the movie, Neo no longer entered the Matrix unprepared. He no longer entered to his old life. In fact, he entered the Matrix with a new sense of purpose. See, when you wake up this week, will you recognize that you have been redeemed, you have been equipped, and you have been sent with a purpose? If there's one thing that I want you to take away from today, it's not the fact that I wore a Yankee shirt up here, but the fact that you have been redeemed, you have been equipped, and you have been sent. I like to think of it this way: the haze is gone, and it's coming into focus. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Love gave his life so that I can find purpose. It's him I love, it's him I trust. Father of lights, let your light shine through us. Let us pray.